Hello, and thanks for joining Wicker Park Lutheran Church Sermons. Wicker Park Lutheran Church is a diverse ELCA Lutheran congregation in the Wicker Park neighborhood of Chicago. We gather at 10 a.m. to fully live into our incarnational faith as we experience God's presence in the gathered assembly, and we welcome you to join us. In just a moment, you'll first hear with a gospel reading from the associated sermon for the service that you're about to listen to. We hope that that gospel gives you some context before you jump right into the sermon. Thanks for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus came down with the 12 and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their disease, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And everyone in the crowd was trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice on that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets." This is the gospel of the Lord. So it begins. The revolution begins. Well, what a revolution? He looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." Jesus called his disciples, we heard last week, but this calling of the so-called 12 was not the beginning of discipleship. Jesus had many more followers, Jesus' followers, disciples, other words for the younger students, than these 12 apostles. The questions at issue is, how should things continue now? We have Christmas time, Jesus was born, we have the hope. And with the people of Israel at this time, the answer is revolution. And I know for you, revolution is maybe bloodshed, weapons, power, and all things. But this is the complete secret for me. It's a complete upside down, a complete new revolution of Jesus' revolution. We see first in the gospel and the Jesus story the expansion of the kingdom. Kingdom is a special word for Luke, but for Matthew, in the Gospel of Matthew 2, kingdom of heaven. It's not a kingdom of golden thrones or jewelry or huge territory. With the expansion of kingdoms, then we have this revolution. And at third, hope is the power of kingdom of heaven. So if we think of kingdoms, how do they spread? If you look at history of mankind, it's some violent action. Bloodshed, but usually you either spread out with war or fight or threatening. Sometimes it's violent actions, or you just build walls, you're gonna save your territory. It doesn't expand in this way, but it's kind of violence about this. But Jesus, its kingdom will be different. Kingdom of God is a different revolution. And yeah, of course, if you have the first of these Beatitudes with this sermon, the gospel today is not finished. It's a couple more of these blessings. It's a long sermon, and I guess what we not the complete sermon. This was a big crowd. Jesus was preaching there and healing. Yeah, they came to him, hear him, and got or want to be healed, touched him. Sometimes we do kind of healing here. Today we have baptism and a huge crowd. It's kind of hard of this. But these two worships or these two methods of Revolution Kingdom is kind of inseparable. How is it called? Well, yeah, inseparable. It comes together. But Jesus, people touch him, get healed, and he's preaching. And this is a way the early Christians, we hear in the book of Acts, which is kind of a part two of Luke, Jesus has been ascended, and then about the first actions of disciples and their followers, so the first Christianity, and they did this very serious, preaching, healing, and maybe we have some high expectations in this sermon, and I kind of did a lot of studies, all these beatitudes, how do they be understand or meant? And at least as a church, and I don't mean this building of this beautiful church, I mean as a church body or a denomination or a congregation, we're supposed to have at least these high aims. I know it's hard. If it's for all meant literally, I don't know. I try at least. When I was 14, 15-ish, I don't exactly name the time, but this is a kind of, this is different periods. If in adulthood, if you grow up, you get on some idealistic and get high ideals. And at this point, I took some of these gospels with youth group and confirmation class, teaching Sunday school, very serious. But of course, I guess all of you, most of you, if we try to give, this is kind of easy. If I come here, I have a little commute down from Indiana, and I leave the interstate. There is not a, but most times there's people begging for money. I have some food. We have bags of love. I'm gonna run out of them, or I have a, most important is a kind of sheet where they find shelter, refuge, hot meals, free hot meals. This is kind of easy for me, but I graduated last year and was in student housing in Hyde Park, and after a lot of burglars and people stealing laundry, bikes down there, they even got in our apartment at third floor Saturday and broke in and stole a lot of stuff. It's not about the material, but it's about not feeling safe. Then we, at least me and my wife, got on their limits. Feeling threatened and not safe anymore. It's not only about the memories of maybe some cash or lost iPads, material stuff. So I studied a couple of theologians, philosophers. How are all these beatitudes meant? Is this for everyone? Is this a command from Jesus, like a law, like a federal law? Everyone should behave exactly like this? Or is it just meant for Christians, or just for the disciples of Jesus, or aren't we the same? We follow. Is this high moral apostle for only the 12? I guess that's, I know for sure, that's not what it meant. So if you look on some conservative sites, they say, yeah, that's for the Christian people, but states, governments, government people, law enforcement, they don't have to, they can do violence still. That's one of the sides. For me, it's actually do the right thing. I think this is my core preaching for some people being here. It's more do the right thing. Sometimes it's not the law. The law is a kind of structure we keep safe. And I definitely know that these Beatitudes, they are a sign for the kingdom of God. That's for me 100%. And we should have the high aims and keep this in our minds. It's like the Ten Commandments, or call it the commandments. We remember there are commandments and there are good rules. There is no punishment. Even in the Hebrew Testament, if you do something or don't do something, there's not like you go 6 months to jail or you have to do 3 rosaries. I don't want to be. There is no exactly punishment for this. So that's not the kingdom of heaven. This is God's work, not our judgment. We're going to look to our own and keep these high aims in mind. As a community, congregation, I'm 100% sure this is meant to act. And, well, if we have this long speech and remember this, this was very outrage. It was revolutionary for this time. It's weird for us too. We have high aims, but sometimes we reach our limits. But at this time, they know the Roman Empire. Then they know they have kings like King Herod just to keep them safe and terrorize people, to pay more taxes, to be controlled. And so for them it must be awesome. So also Jesus in these Beatitudes, like the commandments, there is no punishment. It's not like if you don't do this, you will burn in hell. There's no hell mentioned or whatever. So this is for us a moral standard, and we're going to think of doing it the complete other way, not the expected way. And we know all these older Hebrew punishments, like you lose an eye for an eye and all these teeth, tooth for teeth. This is a kind of Jesus says, that's definitely not the way. For me, there is no discussion at this. And we have no threatening judgment here by Jesus. It's more, should be supposed to be empathetic and enthusiastic in a peaceful revolution. So if we go on this revolution, we can do our own stuff and breathe. If we are getting upset, mad, we can just try to think, do it complete different way than expected. If we have physical powers, if you put power on oppression and oppression, imagine some vacuum, then sometimes it explodes. There might be a bloody revolution in some governments, older kingdoms, it's in some civil wars too. So that's, I'm sure, what Jesus meant. That it's not the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus doesn't say directly, being poor, leave your money, being poor is the right way. You should be homeless, being poor. This is not his directions. It's his kind of forecast for all these, in these little lifespans. Jesus knows his destiny, suffer for all them, and kind of sacrifice for all ourselves in kingdom of heaven. And in this, we take ourselves very serious, also myself, but actually if we see all this only until Jesus came, this is 2,000 years, we're such a little tiny lifespan. So it's about the kingdom of heaven and his revolution he talks about. And it's also about starting revealing to the disciples and to all of his listeners and students to show his primary identity. We know, we often forget, we know all the story, but these folks, even his disciples, don't know about all this tragic story at this point. So, if you have this, and we sometimes fail to do good work and to try our best, this is not a threatening punishment or judgment by Jesus. It's a way of peaceful revolution. At this point, outrageous even today. And he promises our kingdom of heaven for our all, for our world. The world of God is not like a territorial kingdom we have now. It's not about material things. And we've seen this radical difference of this kingdom. And maybe if we feel losers in the capitalistic way, or it doesn't have to be capitalistic, it can also be a fighting masculine world, or the losers might be the winners and the last might be the first, all this. This is not our judgment. That's one of another key point, I'm 100% sure. We've been a good role model, try our best, keeping all this in mind, reading this, and it's a great ideal. It's a great expectation we can have for the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And in the answer for us is, when we trust in God, we trust in Jesus, we have the power to heal. We can heal it here. We have eternal kingdom of God. And for us, we have Jesus as a becoming human source and help. So this love from Jesus is so infinitely great. Because I'm also sure all these beatitudes, these blessings, this is kind of his work for us. That's, we have a human, in human nature, help, teacher, healer for us, and an example for the kingdom of God. If we don't reach, his highest goals, no worry. We all have strengths. We kind of share on this table blood and body of Christ. We have as a symbol for whole congregation and to participate in his healing power and his sacrifice for all us when we fail. So this peaceful, one unique kind revolution has started in this gospel here today, and we all know, or most of us know, the story to the cross and then to ascension. And this is good news, my final for today. We're gonna all have these great ideas for the kingdom of heaven. Amen.